Oh, Crossing family, I love you. I hope you guys are on the other side of all of your Christmases and you had a good one. I have one more Christmas to go, and then I am done. I'm done opening gifts. I'm done buying gifts. I'm done. And I am so glad that you guys are here with us today. I want to say a special shout out to those of you who are new to The Crossing. Take advantage of the QR code on the seat in front of you and get connected, or take advantage of the information that we have at the info bar out in our lobbies. Well, one of the things that kind of happens around Christmas, maybe you guys have experienced this, is you end up spending time at grandma's house or grandpa's house, and you start going through old pictures. And people start, you know, sending you pictures of, hey, this is what we saw. I got a couple pictures sent to me, and then you're like, oh my goodness, I looked way better. Right, you see yourself 5, 10, 15, some of you 50 years ago. Did they have cameras 50 years ago? It was like the, I get it. Yeah, it's cool. Like your horse got freaked out when they took the picture. Anyhow, when you're doing that, you look at the picture and you kind of see when you were young, like which kid you have looks the most like you. You find out just how poor your parents were when you were growing up. How many of you have that experience? Like, oh my goodness, how did we live? You remember what it was like when you had a full head of hair, ladies, right? It's just one of those things, you're taking a look at pictures and you're going, wow, this is kind of heartwarming and a little depressing, right? When you look at old pictures of yourself, to give you some context, I brought some pictures of me, okay? So here's this one. Look how big my ears are. And I hear that ears never stop growing. And I have huge ears already. In like 20 years, I'm just going to be boots and earlobes. That's where we're going to be at. Okay, here's the next one. Okay, yeah, that's me in high school. I put those clothes back on so I could get my picture taken for prom, because I took a lot of clothes off on the dance floor in high school. Wasn't good. Okay, here's the next one. This is when I went through the earrings with the long hair phase. And I got a couple speeding tickets that I had to get taken care of, which is why I lost all my cool factor. Anyhow, I miss him. That's the best I've ever looked, okay? Here's the next picture. This is what it looks like when I don't have any product in my hair, okay? If you're guys like, man, Clayton is a bit of a prima donna, it's because I look homeless when I don't have product in my hair. Okay, here's the next picture. This is during COVID when I had to get my government made ID. If you guys remember that. I look like I'm like, this is what I want my prison picture to look like. Okay, this is, I don't look well. I'll be honest with you. I haven't seen the sun. Okay, here's the next picture. Okay, this is funny. That's not my wife. That's my best friend's wife. When they got engaged, my gift to him was I went and took engagement pictures with his fiance. seriously, I got another one. So that way, he would have a picture of his two favorite people on his desk at work. So I was like, congratulations, and I took his fiance out and got engagement pictures with her. Don't be my friend, it's dangerous, okay? Here's the next one. This is when Jennifer and I just got married. This is back in Soul Patch days. I looked great, Kennedy looked young, Jennifer's still a fox. Oh, okay. Okay, here's the next one. Here's Night to Shine. You guys might wonder, why do I have a beard now? It's to hide this thing right there that I believe, and I don't want to say something that's wrong, I think that's supposed to be a neck, okay? Here's what happens when you look back. Some of it's heartwarming, and some of it's depressing. And we're going to spend some time today as a church looking back at so many things that we have to be thankful for, and at the same time, some of the things that we're going to be looking back at are going to be a little depressing. And to those of you who are watching online and to those of you who are part of our online community, I am incredibly thankful that we get the opportunity to be a part of this church with you. And my hope and my prayer is that God is going to use us in this upcoming year to do a great and mighty thing. And to those of you who are joining us for the first time, I already kind of told you to take advantage of the QR code or the info bar, but I just want to say something at the very front end, because some of you might be visiting us after spending time with us on Christmas Eve. In order for you to get the best experience, not just at our church, but also in life, it is critical that you get connected. I'm actually going to be talking a little bit more about that in later on in the message. And if you're here and you're bringing people to church with you, I want you to make it a priority, not just to bring them to church with you, but to help them get connected to people so that way people miss them when they're gone. People are there for them when they're hurting and they're struggling. And if you're not one to talk to people just yet, take advantage of the QR code that's on the seat in front of you so that way it's at least a way for you to start that conversation. Well, you've seen horrible pictures of me and what I used to look like, and golly, it's not going to look, 20 years, ugh. I don't want to see me. Okay, so stop taking pictures of me today. I don't even want to know what I used to look like. But this past year at our church, there were so many incredible moments of ministry that happened because you supported them. You created them. You funded them. You birthed them into reality. We had one of our best years ever on social media as a church. And if you're wanting to kind of stay connected with certain things that we do here at our church, we are One Crossing on all of these places. Facebook, Instagram. We have an app, which is, I forgot about that. You can follow all the old sermons on YouTube. You can share them with somebody. If you hear somebody going through something, you're like, oh, you might want to pay attention to this. Or Spotify. We need to figure out how to do Apple Music. But I'm just going to tell you, Spotify is a game changer. You can hop on there, follow us. Biscuit, who works at our church, makes epic playlists. I've been devouring our Weeds in My Garden playlist, but they make playlists for all kinds of stuff. And it's just a way for you to stay connected with God and not fill your mind with bad stuff all week. There's some guys working at my house, and they were just listening to worship music while they were doing work. And while you're going about your day, put your AirPods in so you don't have to hear your wife, and just spend time with the Lord, right? That was for you, fellas. Okay, each week you hear me talk to our online community. This is going to blow you guys away. This is what online attendance at our churches look like since 2019. Online. Now, I want you to notice this. 200,000, 200,000, 103,000, 209,000, 213,000. You know what surprised me about this? Is you'll remember that this was the year our church was basically all online. And we have more people watching us online today than we did during the pandemic. That's why you see us making some huge moves in the area of our online experience, is because we're trying to do our best to make sure that they have a great experience. And you guys get to see that, those of you who are at our locations, before the service starts. You're actually joining with our online audience in what you see broadcast in your auditorium. And that's why we've changed and upgraded this online experience, because we have so many people. In fact, there are more people that watch online than any of our other locations. It's our largest community. But to those of you who are online, let me say a couple things to you. Online is at its best. At its best. When you're using it to stay connected when dealing with sickness and travel and vacation. Online is at its best when you or a friend are using it to check out a church before you attend in person when you move to a new community. However, online is at its worst when you use it to avoid weekend services and being connected to community. If you live in a community where it's too far for you to attend or to drive to attend a Crossing location, I want you to know we will work with you to help you find a great church in your area. You probably already know this, but there are better preachers, better pastors out there. And you and your family will be blessed by God inside of his plan for community. Watching me and Jerry online is not the very best way for you to grow spiritually. In my experience as a pastor, here's what I've noticed, is that those who begin to neglect physically gathering in the assembly end up growing cold in their faith and weak in their walk. Here's what I mean by that. There's less evangelism, less personal growth, less serving, less caring for others, less meeting of the needs of others, and less discipleship. And what appears to me, don't hate me, okay, it appears to me that they end up being lulled into spiritual complacency and give up participation in God's glorious mission. If you're going, Clayton, forget you, I'm just going to keep watching online. At the very least, you should find a way to serve, and the way you could serve is by joining the team of our chat hosts to make the experience better for those who are wanting to participate. In fact, there's a group of people in Peoria, Illinois, that do just that. They gather together and they participate as chat hosts for all of you who are watching online. And if you want to simply serve, just type it in the chat, hey, I'd like to serve, and we will connect with you and help you become a contributor instead of just being a consumer. Then, another thing we did this past year is we launched marriage retreats. You guys heard us talk about those. Jerry and Allison done an awesome job. We had 7 marriage retreats, 94 couples attended, and we have so much more work to do here. One of the top 5 things that people say that they are wrestling with, have anxiety over, worry, stressed out about is what? Their marriage. Marriages are struggling, and we want to come alongside people and be a part of the solution. We have 3 scheduled for the spring and a 4th one planned if we go into overflow, and then we'll put a whole roster together in the fall. Then we had Crossing Camp as a church, and Crossing Camp was epic. In fact, this is what was happening at Crossing Camp. You'll notice a bit of a low spot there in 2020. Didn't get to have as much camp as we were hoping to have. But this past year, after having an all-time record last year, we had another all-time record this year, 13% increase. Now, here's the thing that will blow you away. 521 of those 1,379, 521 of them were campers who attended for the very first time. 37% of the kids who went to Crossing Camp this year had never been before. And to those of you who participated in funding scholarships, you helped make that a reality. We had women's conference this year. Where the ladies at? Yep, proud of you ladies. They still pulled off one during COVID. Lucky. They set a monster record last year, and then this year, check out what happened. We set another all-time record. Ladies, Barna Research, in partnership with the Lutheran Hour Ministries, recently did a survey, and this is what they found out about moms. Is that moms are seen as confidence, providers of support, and the drivers of faith formation. That's why RISE is so important, is we're equipping the women in our church, because more often than not, your kids are going to come to you when it comes to the formation of their faith, which means we need to make sure that the women in our church are equipped with everything they need to help be a part of that process. So ladies, can't wait to see what we do this year. We got problems because we can only fit 1,200 people in 48th Street, so we're going to have to figure out who knows, it'll be a mess, but it's the kind of mess that we want, right? Then we talk about men's conference. Men's conference is also on a pretty significant journey. What do we got here for Uncommon? We got blasted during COVID. Then this year we set an all-time record. We didn't beat the women. And don't you think my wife doesn't let me forget it. The women are like, yeah, well, we figured. Okay, well, yeah, whatever. But why does this matter? While women are critical to the formation of a faith, men are critical to the beginning of a faith. When a kid is the first one in a family to come to faith, 3.5% of the time, the rest of the household follows. So if a kid starts their faith first, 3.5% of the time, the rest of the family follows. When a mom comes to faith first, 17% of the time, the rest of the family follows. But when a man comes to faith first in the home, 93% of the time, the rest of the family follows. Pay attention. Men are critical to starting the faith. Women are critical to the formation of the faith, which is why we do our conferences all the time. But God's been doing something else through our men's conference. In 2022, we had a church reach out to us and say, hey, would you help us do an Uncommon conference at our church? So in 2022, we got up early in the morning, we flew to Conway, South Carolina, to Ecclesia Christian Church, and we hosted an Uncommon there. Then last year, we had a bunch of other churches call us up, and we had 7 Uncommon conferences across the country. We had them in Quincy, Illinois, Conway, South Carolina, Loveland, Ohio, Manhattan, Kansas, Phoenix, Arizona, and Washington, Indiana. And in fact, we held 4 men's conferences in 8 days. It was busy. And then while that was happening, more churches called us up and said, would you come and bless us and help us have a men's conference in our neighborhood? And so this upcoming year, we are going to have 12 men's conferences. I'm thinking by 2030, we're going to hit all 50 states. And we're able to do that because of your generosity. We don't charge these churches. We pay it on our own dime to show up to help them be able to have a men's conference in their own backyard. And some of these churches are small churches that are going, we don't have the resources to be able to reach all the men in our community. And we say, how can we help? And they can't get over the fact that there's a church that's not trying to sell them something, that's got a back-end deal on the other side. We just go, how can we help? And we have a team of people at our church who just work behind the scenes to help make those things a reality. Then last year, we launched a new initiative called In Your Corner events. You've seen a lot of these. It began with the 12 days of service, and 2,485 of you served to help make that a reality. But check this out, 844 of you, this was your first time joining the Crossing to make a difference and be in the corner of our communities. Then we did the Frigid 5K, which we're going to do again this year, and we had 754 people show up for our first ever 5K, and we were able to take the revenue from that. We took $10,000, we divided it in half, and we sent $5,000 to 2 different organizations that specialize in rehabilitating those who have been in sex trafficking and rescuing those who have been in sex trafficking. And we think there's no greater cause that we can be a part of. Then we did car care, where we brought in cars from anybody who's in the foster and adoptive system, anybody who's a single mom or a single parent, those who are connected to our military, and 694 of you partnered with us, and we did 152 of you were for the very first time serving alongside of our church, and we ended up cleaning 190 cars. And boy, I was tired when we got done, and we did that all across all 11 of our locations. Then we were like, this isn't enough. We should do more for our communities. And so we did 4 education. And on 4 education, we blessed 702 educators in 260 school buildings. Think about this. I didn't know our church was big enough to hit that there were actually 260 school buildings. But apparently there's a lot of school buildings out there. And we were in 260 of them. And you might be asking yourself, why does the Crossing do all of these things? Well, it's because for years, Jerry and Allison put forth a set of core values that governed as a special set of statements that dictated how we preach our sermons and deploy our resources and engage in our initiatives. For some of you, this is brand new information. It'll be good for you to kind of understand the heart of this church. But for others of you, you've heard this many, many times before. But this is a great opportunity for you to reflect and maybe re-engage. So these core values that kind of guide our church are these. 1, we're going to be outward. We will do whatever it takes to reach people who are far from Jesus. Here at the Crossing, we unapologetically prioritize those we are trying to reach over those we are trying to keep. There are a lot of people at a lot of other churches that found Jesus here and ended up going to church someplace else. And you know what? God bless them. I'm glad that they found a place that they're happy, and I can't wait to hang out with them in heaven. But this church is unapologetically for your friend, for your family member who doesn't know Jesus yet. So sometimes when you don't like what we say or how we say it and what we do and how we do it, and you're like, is this guy doing the same invitation again? Yep. And if you're mad, don't care. Because we unapologetically are rooting for people who are going to hell to find Jesus. We are about filling the empty seats around, not by compromising on the gospel, sending a weak message or something that's not true. We're not trying to entertain people into heaven, but we believe that God is real, Jesus is alive, the Bible is true, the cross is transformative, and hell is hot, and we're going to do something about it. And when that frustrates you, find another place. I mean it, because I don't want to compromise our mission for a person who already knows Jesus. You're like, oh, we should have come in 2 weeks. Okay, next one, downward. We will gladly give up the things we love for a future generation we love even more. If you're old, we love younger people more than you. You're like, this guy knows how to grow a church. He's selling. Yeah. What I mean is, we want to be a church for your kid and your grandkid. If you could have anybody sitting next to you today, who would it be? There's got to be a church that is going to be intentionally, downwardly focused. I just had an opportunity to go to Mount Sterling for their Christmas party. Check this out. 25% of the Mount Sterling High School goes to our church and gets together and reads God's word and treat each other like brothers and sisters in Christ. I walked away from there. My heart was so stinking full. I was dangerous. My heart was so happy. I never had a high school youth group when I was growing up. If I could have got serious about Jesus earlier, do you know how many, I would have had a different picture at prom. I would have had more clothes on. How many of you made bad decisions in high school and college? I don't know. I'm not sure. Okay. All right. We're also honest at this church, okay? I want them to find Jesus as early as possible. How many of you wish you'd have found Jesus like 15 years later than you did? Okay. I know how for some of you are like, man, it's New Year's. I'm going to get serious about Jesus after I get drunk. Okay. But seriously, when you come to a relationship with Jesus Christ, like you want it yesterday, not tomorrow. My successor is in Crossing Kids Ministry right now. We got to make sure we're doing a good job of raising him up so he's way better than me. Relevant. We will do fresh things and fresh ways to reach people no one else is reaching. There's going to be times when we start things up. There's going to be times when we do new programs. We're going to shut some programs down. The whole reason we do that is we don't want this church to be a time machine where it's 2024 in the parking lot and 1983 in here. If you worship at a church that meets all of your preferences, it will not reach the people you care about. I go to those churches all the time. And those churches are dying because everybody in that room got exactly what they wanted. They got a church that was designed for them, not for the mission. When Jesus showed up, he frustrated everybody because he kept saying this, I have come to seek and save that which was lost. And if our church is going to be like Jesus, we have to seek and save that which was lost. We innovate. We will take big, faith-filled risks and never insult God with small thinking and safe living. Here at The Crossing, we're going to try stuff. Some of it's going to work, and we'll be super thankful. Sometimes it'll flop, and when it happens, we'll go, we're sorry. We were wrong. We messed up. It didn't work. But I would rather be a church that tries and fails than be a church that never tries at all. So when we lose, just so you know, I'll be the most ticked off person in the room. But I'll also wear it as a badge of honor that we're a church that's at least willing to try to help people find a relationship with Jesus. Not all seed that is planted takes root, but our job is to sow the seed and water the seed and pray that God brings the growth. We will make leaders. We will develop leaders who honor God and inspire people, and they will change the world. You guys have done this for me. You put up with me. You're still putting up with me. God bless you. But you have made it possible for me to grow as a leader at this church, and I want to make sure. I feel like I have a holy responsibility to make sure that I do this for others, and I need your partnership in order to do that. We don't just make leaders. Here's another one. We grow. We will never stop measuring, changing, and moving for growth because nothing matters more to God than people. We want to have a laser focus to leverage everything in our power to join God in his saving mission. There has to be a place that is committed to reaching and growing and baptizing and discipling the very people that Jesus died for. And the last one of our core values is this: we are one. The church is the hope of the world, and we can accomplish infinitely more together than apart. We are the church. Our locations is where we gather. That is not the church. That's just where we hang out. You and me, we are the church. And when you take what God has given you and I take what God has given me, and we collectively put it in the hands of God, there is no telling what he could do in our midst. And it is our commitment to these core values, to our faith in God, to our trust in his Holy Scriptures, to the enabling of his Holy Spirit, and our desire to follow God and reach people, that the Crossing has experienced tremendous success. I'm just going to give you two little snapshots. Last year, in our communities, we had 2,720 people come to our church for the very first time that raised their hand, filled out a QR code, met with somebody in the back and said, hey, I'm new. And there are who knows how many more who just show up and walk out and we don't know they're here. That's why we want to work hard to make sure that people get connected. But out of this group of people, 652 of them got baptized. I don't think I have enough time to tell you the story. I'll be quick. Thursday of last week, Macomb campus pastor's dad called him up and said, hey, let's go to lunch. He goes, hey, I got this guy who I'm going to be bringing with me. And so they're sitting down and they're talking, and the guy who his dad brought didn't go to church anywhere and hadn't been to church in like 16 years. And he's sitting there with the staff eating food, and he's like, I just figured the church would judge me, you know, because I've got tattoos, and our worship leader does what our worship leaders do. He's like, I got a whole sleeve. And so they invited him to church. And so he texted his wife and said, hey, I'm going to church in Macomb. And he shows up, and his wife's like, what? I've been trying to get you to go to church forever with me, but you didn't go. But now somebody else invites you, and you're going to come to church. So he shows up for church on Thursday night for our Christmas Eve service. And he goes, this is awesome. He goes, I need a Bible. I need to go get a Bible. Well, the person on the staff went, we have Bibles. Here's a Bible. He's like, where do I start? And he's like, well, I would start here. And he tells him where he should start. And he's like, well, that's where I'm starting. And then his wife is kind of like, well, I want you to go to church with me, and I live in Pike County. And he's like, well, guess what? We have a church in Pike County. So on Sunday, he showed up in Pike County, and he got baptized, and you just clapped at his baptism video. It happens just like that. We've had so many incredible ministry moments, it is impossible not to thank God, because we don't deserve it. But it's also depressing, because in our communities, there are people all across this spiritual spectrum. You've seen me talk about this a bunch. From minus fives to plus fives. And for just a second, I want you to pretend that, like, the plus side doesn't exist. I just want to talk to you about people that haven't started their faith. And in our own communities, today, right now, there are thousands of people that don't have a relationship with Jesus. And these numbers, in my opinion, are inflated. Because I don't know, there's a lot of people who could even go to church, and I wouldn't say that they were a follower of Jesus. So there's probably way more work to do here than what I'm going to show you. But at all of our locations, I want you to show you how many people self-identify as having no faith in Jesus. In Adams County, 22% of the people, 14,000 people in Adams County, self-identify and say, I have no relationship with Jesus. In McDonough County, 20,000 people, 62% of your population. When you're in McDonald's, every other car is going to hell. Adair County, 14,000 people, 57% of the county. Let's go to the Pike County, 58%, 9,000 people. Marion County, Missouri, 11,000 people, or 40% of the population. Brown County, 4,000 people, or 56% of the population. Lee County, Iowa, this is where I grew up. 17,000 or 50% of the people. Warren County, 10,000 people or 43% of the population. Morgan County, 18,000 people or 51% of the population. In our region, there are 418,000 people who don't know Jesus. That's why we're hoping to debut a new discipleship strategy, a new connection strategy, and a host of other things to try and reach our community. And we're going to try and help new communities reach their communities for Jesus Christ. So I preached the Christmas Eve message on Thursday, and then I went home and I started writing this message on Friday. And at about 11 o'clock at night, I realized I had written my Easter sermon. I was like, Jennifer, what happened? I was like, I was supposed to write the sermon for this weekend, not an Easter message, but I got done with it. I was like, this is a heck of an Easter message, and I'm not going to burn it on the 50 people that show up after Christmas Eve. This is how God works. You set an all-time attendance record on Christmas Eve, and then right after that, you have New Year's Eve, which is where you have nobody show up. So God bless you who are here and the two people in Keokuk, and just to keep you humble. So hear me. What I'm about to tell you is like the first quarter of my Easter message. And, you know, you might start thinking of a friend that you want to invite to Easter this year, or just come back because that's where you're going to get the rest of the sermon. But if I get asked to go speak at a high school, a graduation ceremony, I always do the same spiel. I kind of got like I do my little dance there. And this is my dance every time I go there. So you're just getting a quarter of the sermon. But every story that you've ever heard, every story that you've ever heard has three common elements. Ready? A character, right? You got to have a person who wants something great, who's willing to overcome obstacles to achieve it. Pick your favorite movie right now. Does it have a character? Oh, yeah. Do they want something great? Yeah. And do they have to overcome obstacles to achieve it? Yeah. Cliff Notes version. If you want to have a great life, a great story, you got to have a character who wants something great, who's willing to overcome obstacles to achieve them. It's not a great story if there's no obstacles. I got a great story. Me, Clayton Hensel, a character, wanted McDonald's for breakfast. And I drove there and got it. You're not going, okay, whoa. Who's going to be competing for rights to that story, okay? I can't wait to see Brad Pitt, Fat Pitt, play Clayton Hensel in the upcoming drama, okay? Nobody's paying to see that. You, me, we're a character. Serious question as you get ready to write your New Year's resolutions. Do you want to do anything great? Dare to do something that makes a difference, that causes ripples and waves. I'm going to lose 10 pounds. Nobody cares. Like, that's the greatness at your funeral? Hey, guys, listen, this guy used to weigh 250, but laying here, easy, 235, maybe 240. That's not going to be your great story. Do you hear me? Oh, you're like, oof, okay, too much. And is willing to overcome obstacles to achieve it. My question is this. Here at The Crossing, collectively, as a character, do we as a church want something great? You better believe it. Our mission is to help people find an intimate, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The great thing that we want is the great thing that God sent his son Jesus to accomplish. Our hope is to make this region where you and I live, all 10,795 square miles, the single hardest place on planet Earth to get to hell from. We want to see the Great Commission accomplished in our region, in our lifetime. And we are willing to put everything on the table to make that a reality. We know Jesus' last words in Matthew chapter 28. When Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." That is the thing that he is calling us to. The great mission that he wants you to give your life to. There is no greater purpose, no greater thing than you can orient your life to than the mission of God. However, there are obstacles that we are going to have to overcome to achieve it. For some of you, it might be consumerism. Instead of watching the service go by, you actually become a part of what God is doing. For some of you, it's going to be you overcoming your preference. For some of you, it's going to be overcoming your apathy. For some of you, it's going to be overcoming your schedule. For some of you, it's going to be overcoming your priorities. For some of you, it's going to be overcoming your fear, your worry, your rejection. For some of you, you're going to be going, I just don't know enough. At some point in time, when will you desire reaching people enough that you will learn to know enough? You'd put the time in to know enough to be confident in sharing your faith. Luke chapter 19, verse 41 says this. This is Jesus. But as Jesus came closer to Jerusalem, he saw the city ahead and he began to weep. I think if Jesus was blowing out his birthday candle and you were to ask him, what did you wish for? I think Jesus would say, I wish my people had my heart for their city. That when you see your neighbors and your friends and your coworkers, that your heart would break. That you would weep for the people around you that don't have an eternal hope. That this is all there is. And that breaking of your heart would recalibrate your life. And you'd be willing to overcome all of the obstacles to help people find faith in Jesus. I want a better story for me. I want a better story for you. I want a better story for all of us collectively. And I'm praying that God will write one. We're moving to a time of decision. To those of you who don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I need you to hear me say this. You were made to be in relationship with him and to fulfill his purpose. And I want to tell you, don't put it off any longer. You were destined to be in relationship with him and to accomplish his mission. And all the things that we try to do to fill the hole that's already inside of our hearts will never fill us up. But it's when you finally say, you know what, I'm going to live the way I was created to live, which is for him, for his mission, for his purposes, you will not regret it. And if you have questions about what that is or what that looks like, in just a few moments when the people around you stand and sing, there's going to be somebody right over by the baptistry who will help you start to write a better story. And you can join the 652 people who already started a relationship with Jesus Christ this year. To those of you who already have a relationship with Jesus, who is the person that breaks your heart? Who's the employee that you want to see come to faith this year? Who's the neighbor? Who's the friend? Who's the enemy that you want to see come to faith? What I'm asking you to do is maybe you want to come up here to the steps and get down on your knees, or maybe you just want to do it right where you're at. Would you spend just a little bit of time on your knees praying that God would use you this year to write their better story? That this year, you allow God to start writing your story into their story. And by doing that, God is able to write himself into their story. You're going to have to overcome stuff to make this a reality. For some of you, it's going to be the fear of having the first conversation. It's going to be the fear of sharing your story. It's going to be the fear of making an invite. But God deserves better from us. And they deserve better from us. So would you spend just a little bit of time asking God to help you overcome those fears, those challenges, those worries, those anxieties to accomplish his mission? Would you stand with me? God, I'm asking you to help us. Help us in a big way. God, help us to be about your mission and your calling and your desires. God, we want you to use us to make heaven bigger and hell smaller. God, this year we want to see the people that are on our hearts and on our minds right now sitting next to us. We want to see them praying next to us at the steps. We want to see them walking down the steps into the baptistry. We want to see them coming out of the baptistry. And God, we want to see them bring their friend and their neighbor. God, we're asking you to use us. In your name I pray. Amen.